Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Samach Dalet. We begin at the two dots, about 10 lines down, where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Rav Yehuda Omer Af HaTomid V'chule. In the Mishnah, we had the Tanakama who said that the only time you're over for Lo Sishchat Al Chomets Dam Zivchi, the only time you're over for shechting a korban while you have chomets in your possession, was the korban Pesach on your Dalet in the afternoon. And Rav Yehuda came along and said, no, in addition to the korban Pesach, I agree with you with that, but you're also chayv v'shechti korban Tomid Bein Arbayim, the afternoon korban Tomid. If you own chometz, when you shech that korban, or when you do the zrik on that korban, so then you are going to be chayiv as well. Gemara asks, my time of the Rabbi Yehuda, why? What's the rationale for Rabbi Yehuda? We can certainly understand the korban Pesach, but why would the korban Tomid have these same rules? So Rabbi Yehuda would say, Amalach, the pasuk says, Lo shischat al chometz dam zivchi. It uses the lashon of zivchi, my zevach. Zevach hamiyuchod li. It means a korban that it was specific for me. What is the example of a korban that is specific for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Or my niyu, this is the korban Tomid. It could have just said, Lo shischat al chometz dam zevach. And that would have been a general statement, and it would have meant the korban Pesach. But when it uses the lashon of zivchi specifically, it comes to teach us, Rabbi Yehuda says that it includes even the korban tomid. Then we have the third opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon Omer, HaPesach B'Arbos Ovechule. He said, and it was somewhat complicated, although it made very good sense, his shita was that when you shecht on the afternoon of your dalet, it's only the korban Pesach. And then we said, when you shecht the korban Pesach, l'shmo, at other times, since it's not good, Rabbi Shimon's shita is a shita she'en ru'uya, Eino shchita. So therefore, since it's possible when you shech the korban pesach, the shame korban pesach, any other time other than your dalet, it is ruined. So therefore, it's not a good shchita. So you're not over for having chametz in your possession the rest of Pesach. But all other korbanos, whether they're lishmo or shelo lishmo, the one exception being the chatas. The chatas, if you do it not for the shame chatas, it also is possible. So it's going to be a shchita sheino reuya as well. So that's why the chatas, if you shech the shelo lishmo, the rest of Pesach is also not going to be chayiv, but all other korbanos, bein lishmo, bein shelo lishmo, since they're a good korban, it's a shchita shiru'uya, therefore Rabbi Shimon would say, for the rest of Pesach, you're chayiv. That was Rabbi Shimon's shita in a nutshell. Gemara asks, my time of the Rabbi Shimon, where does he get his shita from? It's a very nice shita, it makes very good sense, but what is it based upon? So he also uses the word zivchi, but we have the word zivchi twice. So it tells us one pasuk zivchi, tells us another pasuk zivchi. The chsiv zivchi, zivchi, trei zibne. It tells us twice in the psukim, once in Mishpatim, and the other time in Kisisa. So you have two times where it mentions the word zivchi. And we cut up this pasuk in an interesting way, and it says, kribe zevach and kribe zivochai. So we take the yud, Rashi says, again, an interesting way to darshan. Rashi says, trei kroi ksiv, shokul yud dechad mina. You take the yud from one of the words zivchi to make that word zevach, and you take that yud and you vishodei aidoch and you add it to the other zivchi, so that's zivochai. The korban be zevach, so one is now zevach, dainu pesach, which refers to the korban pesach, and the second one is zivochai, the korban be zivochai, lishar zivochim, for multiple other korbanos that could be over this iser of lo sishchat al chometz dam zivochai, all other korbanos. So the Gemara says, "L'may hilchusa palkinu rachmona mi'adadei." So how come Hakadosh Baruch Hu separated these two psukim? Lo kosav zvachai. He could have just said it one time, "Lo sishchat al chometz dam zvachai." So therefore, to teach us this din that Rabbi Shimon proposes, l'meimar, to teach us the following: Bisman di'ika pesach, when it is the time of the korban pesach, i.e. yudalit in the afternoon, beinu abayim. So then, lo mechayev azvachai. Then you're only chayev for the korban pesach, but you're not chayev for any other korbanos. Only the korban pesach. Not like Rabbi Yehuda says, also the korban tomid, and certainly not any other korbanos. So during the zevach time, you're not chayev azvachai. However, bisman de'leka pesach, but when there is no chayev to bring the korban pesach, i.e. any other time other than your dalet in the afternoon, so then, if you have chometz in your possession during the rest of Pesach, mechayev azvachai, you would be chayev for all those other korbanos that are a shchita shiru'uya, if it is a good, valid korban, even if it doesn't fulfill your obligation to have brought such a korban. If you shech something shelo lishmo, it may not fulfill your obligation, but as long as it's not a chatas, and a shelo lishmo is still a good korban, albeit it doesn't fulfill an obligation that you may have had. So therefore, it's a shchita shiruya. And Rabbi Shimon Lishitasa says a shchita shiruya, you're going to be chayiv during Pesach, ziva chay, for shechting it when you own chametz. So now we understand the three shitos. We have the Tanakama, straight up, just the carbon Pesach. You have a Yehuda who adds, because it's zivochi, it's my carbon, so therefore that's carbon miyuchad, which means a carbon tamid, and then the yud being taken and making zevach zivochai, that's Rabbi Shimon Shita. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah and says, ubimoed, if you shecht it during the carbon Pesach, Rabbi Shimon Shita is lishmo potu v'chule. Since if you do the carbon Pesach lishmo any other time other than on your dal in the afternoon, it's paradoxically not good. So therefore, if you shecht the carbon Pesach lishmo, it's no good. So Gemara says, Taima, the implication of our Mishnah is that you bedavka have to uproot it. You have to say shalo lishmo. If you say the Karban Pesach shalo lishmo, so then it's actually good as a shlamim. And therefore, if you shecht it shalo lishmo during Pesach, you would be chayiv for lo sishchado chometz, stam zuchi. But if you shecht it without saying anything, ha stama, if you just left it as it is without uprooting it from being a carbon Pesach, that implies stama would be potter because it's not a shechita haruya, because it still retains its status according to this as a carbon Pesach, and a carbon Pesach shechted outside of your dalet is a shechita ein shein haruya, and therefore it wouldn't be a good shechita and it wouldn't be chayiv. So he says, Amai, how come? That's not true. After all, haven't we learned that Pesach, Bishayim Osashonah, Shlom Havi, automatically, if you shecht the carbon Pesach, not on your dalit in the afternoon, you shecht it before then, or you shecht it after then, it becomes a carbon shlomim. So why do you have to bedavka uproot it and say shalo lishmo? Isn't the default position that even if you don't uproot it, it loses its status of being a carbon Pesach when you shecht it outside of your dalit in the afternoon? And therefore, shouldn't you be chayiv on Pesach for this as well? Pesach b'shayim os hashonah shlomim havi. So even if you don't say it, I'm uprooting it and I'm shechting it shalo lishmo l'shem shlomim, it should still be l'shem shlomim anyway. Oh, since we don't say that, shamas minah, it must be that Pesach b'shayim os hashonah boyakira. Let us learn from our Mishnah that you, in fact, must uproot something. And it's not as you had suggested, Pesach Mishayim Mos Hashanah automatically becomes a Shlomim, but only if you uproot it from the Shem Pesach. Is that what we can learn from our Mishnah? So I'm Rav Chiya Bar Gamda. Rav Chiya Bar Gamda says, no. Our case is unique here. Nizrika Mipicha Bura the Amru. This was thrown out, so to say, from the group, and everybody agreed to it. Rashi says that this is an interesting expression. He says, Kulam hodu b'dover zeh. Everybody agreed when this was brought forward in the Beis Medrash that this is the absolute correct pshat. Lokume masnisen, to learn our Mishnah in the following way, that it's teaching us the mashma that we're dealing with the boy lemekar shem Pesach b'nei. Here in our Mishnah, you must specifically uproot the shame of Pesach in order for you to be chayiv shechting at the rest of Pesach, los ishchar chometz dam zuchi. Because in our Mishnah, in this particular case, as opposed to every place else, here you must uproot it. Every place else, it's Pesach, B'shayim, Mos Hashanah, automatically becomes a Shlomim even without uprooting it. But in the case of our Mishnah, Nizrukah Mipiyah Chaburah, everybody in the Beis Medrash agreed, this is the Pshat. What is that Pshat? Ba'amru, they said, Kigon Shahayu Ba'olim Tmei Emes. The original Ba'alim on this carbon Pesach were unable to bring their carbon Pesach on Yudal in the afternoon because they were all Tommy Mace. Now, if only a small portion of Chai Yisrael is Tommy Mace, so then they can't bring the carbon Pesach, what we call Pesach Rishon, and they bring it on Pesach Sheni. Oh, this in our Mishnah was the scenario. You're dealing here with people that were Tommy Mace, and they were expecting to bring this carbon Pesach not as a Shlomim. They're expecting to bring it as a Pesach Sheni, and therefore it wasn't automatically uprooted. Normally, a carbon Pesach has to be brought 1 year of life. There's no way you could designate this year for carbon Pesach and have it still work for next year for a carbon Pesach. So that's why, under normal circumstances, a Pesach B'shayim Mos Hashanah automatically becomes a Shlomim because it no longer can be a carbon Pesach because it would be more than 1 year old. With the one exception, if you're dealing with people that were Tamei Meis on Pesach Rishon, and therefore they have the option still of using this particular carbon Pesach a month later for Pesach Sheni in Iyar. And that's what our Mishnah is talking about. And in this situation, this Tamei Lishon Pesach Koy, it retains its status of being a carbon Pesach because it could be used in 1 month as a carbon Pesach. So in this unique case with the Balaam with Tommy Mace, and they didn't bring their carbon Pesach on Pesach Rishon, but they're capable of bringing it on Pesach Sheni, doesn't lose automatically its status of being a Korban Pesach. And unless you uproot it, that's like our Mishnah said, you must say Badafka Shelo Lishmo. Only then would you be Chayiv. Otherwise, it still is a Korban Pesach. And as Rabbi Shimon says, the Korban Pesach, Shechta, the rest of Pesach, is not Roy, it's a Shlita She'ena Ruya, and you wouldn't be Chayiv. That is the full understanding of Rabbi Shimon's Shita. Very beautiful. Now we go to the next Mishnah. Mishnah begins and says, HaPesach Nishkat B'Sholosh Kitos. Here we start going into the technical details of how the Korban Pesach was actually shechted on Yudal in the afternoon. It's a beautiful process. All of Klai Yisrael came. You have to remember, everybody was mechuyev to go bring a Korban Pesach at the potential penalty of Kares. So everybody came from far and wide. If you lived in Eretz Yisrael, if you owned property in Eretz Yisrael, you're mechuyev to come. Unless you were sick, unless there was some other extenuating circumstance. So all of Klai Yisrael had to go and bring the Korban Pesach. So how did they do this? How did they manage to do all of Klai Yisrael in the span of an afternoon? So HaPesach Nishkat B'Sholosh Kitos. They divided up Klai Yisrael into three groups. The early group, the middle group, and the late group. Shenema, and this is based upon the Pasuk, this week's Parsha. Parsha's Bo, where it tells us, Shoshachatu Oso Kol Kehal Adas Yisrael. It says that Kol Kehal Adas Yisrael. Three words that represents this idea of the three ketos. So therefore, Kohol, the Eda, the Yisrael, are these three ketos, and that's how they divided up Klai Yisrael in order to be able to efficiently do all the Korbanos Pesach that needed to be brought. Now, Nichnaso Kasa Rishona, the first group of people came in, Nismalo Azara, they came in until the Azara filled up with people, until there was no more room, and either automatically, the gates themselves close. We will have a discussion about this. Noalu dal sosu azora. Either they closed on their own, so to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu closed them, or the Kohanim, the Levim, they closed the gates when they reached a certain number of people. They reached the maximum capacity. The gates either closed themselves, or the Kohanim closed it. Toku, heriyu v'toku. As we always have, they blew shofar at certain times during the Beis HaMikdash day when certain korbanos were brought. The Korban Tamid was brought. They would blow kia Trua Tkiyah, and they would blow it at other times as well, so they blew it during the bringing of the Korban Pesach. Now, what would they do after they shechted the Korbanos? HaKohanim Omdim Shuros, the Kohanim lined up in rows, and they had in their hands, would be a dayem, they had to do the Kabbalah. A non-Kohen could do the Shechita, as we'll see. The Sfasema says they actually preferred to have a non-Kohen do it, so the Kohanim could be freed up to do the Avodah, because there was so much Avodah to be done. So if a non-Kohen could do the Shechita, that allowed like more manpower. And therefore, he Bedavka said they had a non-Kohen do it, although the Minog often was that Kohanim did the Shechita. It wasn't Ma'akev, it was allowed L'chatchila to even have Yisrael do it. So the Kohanim needed as many Kohanim as he could to go do the Kabbalah, because there were so many Korbanos being shechted, and therefore they did a bucket brigade. They had rows of Kohanim, and they would pass forward from the place of the Shechita and move the bucket brigade, move the collected blood forward in a procession until it could be thrown onto the Mizbeach. It required one application, one throwing of the blood onto the Mizbeach, onto the Yesod of the Mizbeach, as we'll see. So these Kohanim lined up. Ubideim bezichei kesef ubezichei zav. They had the kli sharis in the hand. That was either gold or silver. The line of Kohanim all had gold. Another line of Kohanim all had silver. So first they had a shuro shukula kesef kesef. They had a row that was all Kohanim holding the silver bezichim, the silver bowls. They had another row of a shuro shukula zav zav that was all made of Kohanim that had golden bowls in their hand. The bezichim they had to collect the kabbalah of the dam and lo yomarvin. They didn't mix together. Now, that's what it means if they had two separate rows. So what does it mean, lo moyum arvin? So the Sfas gives a couple of reasons. He said that even the rows themselves were separated from each other. Lo arvin, even these two rows were separated from each other. And also, don't think that maybe some of the bazichim were half gold, half silver. So they didn't mix them at all. They had one row or several rows of Kohanim with gold that were on one side, and then they had rows of Kohanim that were on the other side with silver. They didn't mix it all together in any way, shape, or form. Then, these didn't have an area that was flat on the bottom that you could go and put it down on the ground and it wouldn't spill. They came to a point at the bottom of these bazichim, so they never would put down, so the blood would always be moving and the blood would never congeal. If they put it down, the blood would congeal and you'd have a problem. So therefore, they didn't have a flat bottom part, but it came like to a point at the bottom in order to prevent Shemo Yanichum V'yikrash Hadam, in order that they shouldn't put it down and forget about it for a few seconds or a few minutes, and the blood would congeal, and then you wouldn't be able to do the Zrika onto the Yisod. Now, Shachat Yisrael, as I pointed out, a Yisrael was allowed to do the Shechita. And the Sfasema says, Bedavka, they would have a Yisrael do it to spare Kohanim. They needed all the Kohanim, all hands on deck. And then the Kabbalah had to be done, the Kibbalah Kohen, the Kabbalah, the Holocha, and the Zrika must be done by Kohen. Those were formal Avodos and could not be done by Yisrael. As the Kohen did the Kabbalah, let's say a Kohen had a gold bowl and he did the Kabbalah, he would pass it to the Kohen in front of him, and he would pass it to the Kohen in front of him, he would pass it to the Kohen in front of him, and they had a procession that led towards the Mizbeach. The Kohen Pesach could be shechted any place in the Azara, so they had it all over, and they would then have lines forming with these bucket brigades, so to say, bringing the bazichin filled with the Kabbalah of the blood to the Mizbeach. That would be the Holocha. The Gemara will say this is a valid Holocha to do it this way. We'll have a couple of points to make. And then, Nosno l'chavero, v'chavero l'chavero. And then finally, the last one, closest to the Mizbeach, Mekabalas Hamale, they would first take the filled bucket, and then they would give back Umachzer Zarekan, the one that came back after the Zrika was done onto the Mizbeach. They would then bring the buckets back with the bucket brigade, but you always gave the one that was the mitzvah first. You want to do the mitzvah first, and then you would take the other bucket afterwards. So after the bazichin were passed forward, they would then pass them back. But first, as they would always pass it, they would pass first forward the one that was to do the mitzvah, and only take afterwards back the one that the mitzvah had already been done. So then it would reach the Kohen that was by the Mizbeach. The final Kohen over there, Zarko Zrika Achas Kenegar Yisod, he would spritz it, he would throw it with one toss, with one Zrika onto the base of the Mizbeach called the Yisod. The Yisod was the bottom, the Mizbeach ultimately was 32 Amma by 32 Amma. That bottom Amma, if you looked at it from a bird's eye view, wasn't a complete Amma. There were parts that were missing, and only on those parts where there was a Yisod on two full sides. On the northern side, there was a full Yisod, and on the western side, there was a full Yisod. The Yisod extended a little bit onto the southern side and onto the eastern side, but they didn't have a full Yisod there. The Gemara elsewhere explains why that was the case. In any event, you had to pour the blood from the Korban Pesach, Zorko Zrika Achas Kenegar Yisod. Mishnah continues and says, Yotzo Kashi Shona. So this was the process for the first group. They did this. They all did their Korban Pesach. They shechted them. They did the Kabbalah in the manner that we just said. They did the Holocha in the manner that we just said. And they did the Zrika in the manner that we just said. When everybody was done with their Korban Pesach, so Yotzo Kashi Shona, the first group went down. And the second group came in, the Nichlaso Kashniya. And the same exact process was done. And they finished Yotzo Shniya. After they concluded everything that the first group did, the second group did as well. Nechlecha Kashlishis, the third group came in, and they did the same thing. Kemasi Harishona, Kach Masi Ashniya, and Kach Masi Vashlishis. They did the exact same thing three times. Now, while they're bringing the Korban Pesach, they sang Karu es Ahalo. Rashi seems to indicate that everybody sang the Halo. Tosa says that's incorrect. Tosa says Pirush Levim. He says only the Levim sang the Halo. In any event, they would sing the entire Halo. Im Gamru, if they finished it, because there were so many Korban Pesach, and they needed to still say the Halo again, Shanu, they repeated the Halo again. If they repeted it the second time, there's still so many Korban Pesach that weren't done, so they repeated it a third time. Im Shanu Shoshim. However, the Gemara says, the Mishnah tells us, Afabi Shalosh Shoshim Imeim. It never had to happen that they had to repeat the full Halo three times. Even though there were many, many, many Korbanos that were being brought, they were Kohanim was reason, and therefore they were able to go and accomplish everything in a relatively short period of time. Dealing with hundreds of thousands of Korbanos being shafted, as the Gemara will tell us, and nevertheless, they were able to do this in record time. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, Miyameim Shokash Lishis, the third group, which was a smaller group. Everybody was zealous to do this, so people were trying very hard to be in the first group. If they couldn't get in the first group, they at least got into the second group. The third group, the late comers, the people that were a little bit slow in coming, so there were very, very few people in the third group. To the second paragraph of Halav, they never even made it there before it was all done. In other words, there were so few people in the third group because everybody was zealous to try to come in the first two groups. And the third group had very few people. Now, the Mishnah continues and says, Kemaaseo b'chol, just like this process was done on every weekday, so too kach maaseo b'shabbos. The same exact process was done every Shabbos that Korban Pesach was brought when Erev Pesach shechol yos b'shabbos. So they did the same exact shlita. The shlita is doche Shabbos. Any korban that is time obligatory, you have to bring it on that day, is doche Shabbos. And all the essential needs of that korban are allowed to be doche Shabbos as well. With one exception, the Gemara says, Elo shakohanim medichin es hazara shelo birtzon chachamim. During the weekdays, they would open up the Amma. The Amma was like an Amma-like rivulet or stream that ran through the Beis HaMikdash. And they would plug it up at both ends, and the little rivulet would overflow, and it would basically wash out, clear out all the shmutz, all the blood, all the leftover fats, all the stuff that was on the floor that fell off from the korbanos, so it would clean it out. So on a weekday, there's no problem. They would plug it up, they would rinse out the entire Azara, then they would unplug it, and the water would flow out through the Yama and go out to Nachal Kidron. And that's what we had elsewhere, the discussion in the Gemara. They would sell this to the people because it was nutritious, it had a high nutrient content, and it was good to water the fields. So this was something that they would sell. It came from the Beis HaMikdash, so they owned the rights to it, and they would sell it. But it wasn't real me'ilah, because all of this had already had its matir completed, and therefore there technically is no me'ilah d'oraisa. It was only me'ilah d'rabbanan. In any event, that's what they would do on a weekday. But they did it also on Shabbos, according to this opinion, and that was done without the permission of the Chacham. The Chacham were not happy that they did this. The Gemara will discuss why not. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kos Hayom Mimale Midam HaTarobos. Rabbi Yehuda says that every day, they, in addition, before they would unplug it, after they allowed the waters to go and mix all the bloods here, before they unplugged the Amma and allowed the water to drain out, they filled up one bucket of blood that came from this mixture of blood and water on the floor, and they threw that zarku zrika achas agabi mizbeach. They did this Kabbalah in this fashion with all the bloods that were mixed together here, and they did that on the mizbeach. And Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara will tell us, said that they did that just in case, by accident, one of the Korban Pesachs didn't have its blood get zrika done onto the mizbeach, since according to Rabbi Yehuda, dam is not mevatel dam, so even a small amount of blood that's from every carbon will be in this cup, and then when they pour this cup onto the Yisod, even if they'd missed somehow the first time getting that Korban Pesach onto the Yisod, they could accomplish it in this way as well. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. It's based upon the Shita that dam is not mevatel dam, and therefore even a small amount of blood in here wouldn't be batel from all the other blood there, and therefore it still would accomplish having a zrika onto the Yisod for every Korban Pesach. That was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Chacham disagreed with him. Again, we'll learn this more in the Gemara. Mishnah continues and says, Ketzat tolin umavshitin. How then you had to go flay the animal? The Korban Pesach had to be flayed. It was roasted whole, but you still had to flay it, and you had to go and take out the sacrificial fats, the emurim. So how did you go and do this? Ketzat tolin, how did you hang it up and go and flay the animal? Mavshitin means to flay the animal. So they had unkolios shel barzel. They had these hooks that were attached. What were they attached to? Are you kvuin baksolim? They were attached to the walls. Some suggest this is the walls of the Azara. Others suggest that they had some makeshift type of platform there that they attached it to. Ubamudim, and to various types of pillars that they had in the area of the Beis HaMikdash that was north of the Mizbeach. And that's where they would go and have the base Mitpachayim. We had this early in the Masechta. This is where they had various flayings and rinsings of the korbanos that were done. So this is where they hooked up the Korban Pesach to these, either these amudim or to these solim that had these unkolios on them, and they flayed the animals. Shevehen tolin umavshitin. They hung up the Korban Pesach and they flayed it. Now, kol mi she'en lo makom litlos ulahavshit. There were so many Korban Pesach that they used up all of the hooks that were over there on a regular basis. There were 24 mishmaros, there were 24 hooks. They used up all the hooks, they used up all the potential. Each of the hooks had three separate sub-hooks on it. They used up every place but it could hang in the Korban Pesach. So what happens if there was no room? If there was no place to hang your Korban Pesach, there were so many being done, so they took out sticks. Maklos dakim v'chalochim. They took out, chalochim means smooth, and dakim means thin. They took out these thin poles, these thin sticks. Hayushan, they had them over there. And meniach al-ksefo v'al-kesef chavero. They put them in between two people on their shoulders, and then they would therefore have created another hook, so to say, and they would then go and hook the Korban Pesach onto these sticks, onto these poles that they had, betola, hang it up, umavshit, and flay it from there. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Lezer adds, and he says, our boss saw on the 14th day of Nisan, in the afternoon, Shechol Yos B'Shabbos, if that was on Shabbos, they weren't able to do this normal process. Now, Rashi seems to suggest, Einechol L'Sakein HaMaklos, they couldn't go and prepare the Maklos. That would be like doing an Avodah on Shabbos. But the Rashash says, that's not true. There's no problem in preparing them. There is no problem other than Muktza. They weren't prepared beforehand. And therefore, he changes the gears in Rashi and says, Einechol L'Taltel HaMaklos, that he couldn't go and they weren't able to go and move the makos because they were muktzah. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says that when Erev Pesach was holy on Shabbos, like it is in Mirtz Hashem this year, Mirtz Hashem, this will be halacha l'maisa this year when we bring the Korban Pesach in the base of Mikdash Abinu Yah, so meniach yodo akosim chaveri. Instead of using these poles, each person put his hand on his fellow's shoulder, and the other person would put his hands back on his, v'yad chaveri akseifo, and they would have basically their arms being the place where they could hang the Korban Pesach on, and therefore, v'tolu mafshit, they would go and flay the Korban Pesach in this fashion. Finally, the Mishnah says, kiro, when they opened up the body, after they did the flaying, they have to open up the body to take out the emurim, v'otziu, they would take out from each Korban Pesach the emurim, the sacrificial fats that had to be put up on the Mizbeach. That was the Haktorah that was required. The rest of the Korban Pesach was eaten. So by all the people that were Michsas Nefoshos, all the people that were included in that Korban Pesach. So when they took out the sacrificial fats, they took out the emurim, Nesonu B'magis, they put it into a certain type of a container, Ka'ara, Rashi says, a bowl or plate of some sort, where they place the fats onto this plate, and then v'ktirin al gabi mizbeach, they brought them to the mizbeach, and the kohanim would be maktir the emurim of the Korban Pesach. This was the process. Now, on Erev Pesach, Shchol Yos B'Shabbos, they couldn't bring the Korban Pesach home to the house and roast it. The roasting of the Korban Pesach, the carrying of the Korban Pesach to their houses, that was not Docheh Shabbos. So everybody had to stay up on the Har HaBayis. Now, where did they stay? So Yotz Kasa Rishona, the first group that did the Korban Pesach, they left the Azara. They couldn't stay inside the Azara because the next group had to come inside. So they would leave the Azara, and where did they go? Yotz Kasa Rishona, the Yoshua Loba Har HaBayis. They stayed someplace up on the Har HaBayis. The second group, after they were finished, they also had to leave the Azara, so the third group would come in. So Shnia, where did they go? They went to the Chel. They went Bachel. Rashi says this was an area of Lefnei Asoreg, who Bein Asoreg Lechomas Ezras Noshin. This was an area that was in between the walls of the Beis Hamikdash, the outer walls of the Beis Hamikdash, and the Ezras Noshin. Betchilas Aliyah Sahar, right as you're going up the Har HaBayis, going towards the more holy and holier areas. So there was this Chel, there was this area, was 10 Amma wide. It's discussed in the Mishnayis in Midah. And this was a partition area where if Nachrim couldn't go beyond this point. In any event, that's where the second Kas stayed until Shabbos was over, and they could bring the Korban Pesach back to the houses and roast it. The third Kas, they stayed inside the Azara. By Shlishis B'mkom HaMedes, since there was no other group coming in, they could stay inside the Azara. And as a machlok is that they actually stay inside the Azara itself, and they had to stand up there because only Malchus Beis David was allowed to sit down in the Azara, or that they actually leave the Azara and they went to the Ezras Noshim, and therefore they could sit down over there. So some are medayik, it says Vashlishis Bimkoma Omedes, they bedavka stood there because they actually stood inside the Azara. And finally, when Shabbos was over, Chashecha, as soon as it became nightfall, so now it's Motzei Shabbos, they can leave the Beis HaMikdash area carrying all this stuff with them and go to the house and roast the Korban Pesach. Yotzu v'tzolu es b'schayam. And then they would eat the Korban Pesach. That was the night of the Seder, Motzei Shabbos, Tesvav at night. Omer B'Yitzchak, tomorrow starts on, says B'Yitzchak, tells us, Eina Pesach nishchat ele b'sholosh kitos shel shloshim shloshim in the Adam. B'davka, the Korban Pesach, it wasn't just it was customary or it was useful to have three groups. He says, based upon the psukim, kahal ve'edav Yisrael, my time up, because of this psukim that we just brought down before, from this week's parasha, the end of Bo, it says, kahal ve'edav Yisrael. That teaches us that you must have a group, three groups, one kahal group, one edah group, one Yisrael group. Now, kahal is 10, edah is 10, Yisrael is 10. So, Rav Yitzchak says, he wasn't sure, misafgalon, we weren't clear, that you have to have 30 people. Did they all need to come at once and you had one group? Or did it mean that you had three groups of 10 in each? So what should they do? So therefore, they were as a suffix. So what they did was, Hilkach, they turned it and made that there would be Yotzi no matter what. They had three groups, each with 30. So Hilkach, Bo'inon, Shalosh Kitos, they divided up into three groups because maybe you needed to have three groups. Kahal, Eid, and Yisrael couldn't come together. But maybe they were all supposed to come together. So therefore, there's supposed to be all 30 of them in one group. So therefore, they made three groups of at least 30 people. And this way, Mimanashach, they were Yotze. If you're supposed to have all 30 at once, they had all 30 at once in the first group, they had all 30 at once in the second group, they had all 30 at once in the third group. So they were Yotze that way. And if it was really only that you needed 10, 10, 10, so Ha'ika, they had that too. So they had the best of both worlds. And the Gemara just points out, by the way, Hilkach v'chamishin namisage. They didn't technically need 90 people, 30, they could have accomplished the same thing just by having 50 people, because you put in 30 people in the first group. The Eilei Tlosin, 30 people came, they did their Korban Pesach process, and then 10 of them left, and 10 new ones came in, so you still have 30 people. Then the second group, Eilei Asara, and Afkei Asara, 10 new people came in, and 10 people left, so now you still have 30 in the second group. And the third group, you again had 10 new people come in, Eilei Asara in the third group, then Afkei Asara, and 10 left, so you only really needed 50 people, Besach HaKol, to accomplish having 30 in the first group, 30 in the second group, 30 in the third group, because people could be the same people in the groups, and it would accomplish the same thing. The Mishnah then is quoted. It said, Nichlus HaKas Vishon V'chulei, it went through the process of the first group going inside, which was repeated for the second group and the third group. Gemara asks, Itmar Abaya Mar Ninalu Tnan, Rav Amar Noalin Tnan. I mentioned when we did the Mishnah that there was a machlokas. Here's the machlokas between Abaya and Rava. Did the gates miraculously close when they reached a certain number, they reached the capacity, and the gates miraculously closed, or did the Kohanim actually go and close the gates themselves? So that's the machlokas between Abaye and Rava. What's the difference? Might be Nayu. So where it says, Ikra Nayu lemis machanisa. Are you allowed to rely upon a miracle? That's the nafkamina between whether you hold like Abaye or Rava. Abaye Amar Nina Lutnan, he says that the gates close miraculously all by themselves. Kama the Ailu Malu v'samchino nanisa. How many people wanted to come in? They let come in because they knew that Hashem would, so to say, close the gates when they reached the maximum capacity. So they were relying l'chatchila on an ace. Abai says, no problem. Nisim occurred all the time in the base of Migdush. And Rava said, ain't some chanal anes. Rava Amar Noel is not. The Mishnah's gear should be that the Kohanim closed it. The fire marshal in the Azara saw that they reached the maximum capacity and he closed the gates so no more people can enter. Below Samchin and Anisa, because he holds, you're not allowed to rely upon an ace when there's no reason to do so. Aydimur says, what not? We learned in a Mishnah in Edios. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, it says in Edios that Rabbi Yehuda said, Chas v'sholom shakavi b'mahalo nisnada. It's impossible to suggest, as the Mishnah Edios did, and Rav Yehuda strongly contends that that's incorrect, that they said that the Akavi Menahalo was put into Nidui. Now, Akavi Menahalo was a very, very, very great Yid. And the Mishnayis and Edios said, they first stated that he did something, and afterwards they retracted. Rav Yehuda said, there's no way that he did that. It was somebody else. Rashi reminds us that over there in Masechtas Edios, it says that there were four things, Arba Dvarim Heyed Akavi Menahalo V'chulei. And it says over there, "V'ktani Hossam, Hu Aya Omer Ein Mashkin Lo Es Hagiores V'Lo Es Hamishuchreres." That he said, "You don't give the May Sota to a woman who was a convert, or to a woman who was previously a Shivcha Kinanis and became a Jewish lady through being freed." And Amrulo, so they told him, "Maisa B'Karkemis." There once was a woman whose name was Karkemis Shivcha Shehoisa B'Shulaim. She was a woman who had previously been a shivcha, and she became a full-fledged Jewish lady, and they accused her of being a sota, v'ishkua, shmaya v'avtayin, and shmaya v'avtayin, they gave her a drink, they made sota. And Akavya b'mahal responded, and he said, amalem, dugma hishkua. They didn't give her the real stuff, they gave her something that was like it, a dugma, dom in law, just like she wasn't a full-fledged yid, and he said, just like shmaya v'avtayin, weren't full-fledged Yidden, they were converts as well. So you are like her, and just like she's not a full-fledged Yid, so too you aren't full-born from birth, full-fledged Yidden. So that's a terrible thing for somebody to say, and so much more so that Akavi Mahalal said it. So I'm reviewed the Chas V'Shalom Shakavi Nisnada. Chas V'Shalom to say that Akavi Mahalal said it, and they put him into Nidui. Akavi Mahalal was so great, and here's where we come into our Gemara. She'ein Azara Nineles Al Kol Odom B'Yisrael, that the gates never closed on somebody in Klal Yisrael who was as great as Akavi ben Mahalal b'Chochma in wisdom u'b'Yiras Chait in his fear of doing a sin k'Akavi ben Mahalal. In other words, the gates never closed on anybody who was as great as Akavi ben Mahalal. So Yehuda said Chas V'Shalom to say he was the one that said that they Hishkua Dugma like you. So he never said that. It's totally wrong to say that Akavi Menahal said that Chas V'Shalom. So in any event, Abaye and Rava, it says over here that the gates never close. Each of them interpret this Mishnah in Edios according to their own Shita. Abaye Mataritz Tamei, but Rabbi Mataritz Tamei. Abaye Mataritz Tamei, Abaye explains it according to his reasoning that a nes occurred. Says Ein Bazara Bishar Shenina Lo Akolad Bisrael. There was never anybody as great as a Kavi Mahalo when the gates automatically closed on their own through this nes. When the gates closed by themselves. And Rava learned this Mishnah in Edios, Mataritz Taimei. Ein Bazara Bishar Shenol, and also Akol Yisrael, Bechachma over here, Eschait, Kakavi Mahala. When the Kohanim closed the gates, they didn't close them on anybody as great as the Kavi Mahala. So both the Bai and Rava learned the Mishnah in Edios a little bit differently, based upon their respective Shitas. Tanur Rabbanan, we learn the following Braisa, Me Olam Lo Nismayich Odom Bazara. Nismayich means to be crushed, Moch V'Kosus. So we have this in regards to some of the blemishes of a kohen or of an animal that is no longer considered unblemished. And anyway, the word nismayach means crushed. So never, with all these people coming in, you know, you always lahavdil el havdolos here on the Black Thursday sales, or Black Friday sales after Thursday Thanksgiving, how people line up at the stores at Rahman al-Islam, people sometimes get crushed. So here you had so many, many more people in the Beis HaMikdash, and you never heard of an accident ever happening. People were careful and calm. Me'olam lo nismayach odom bazara. It never, ever happened except one time. Chutz mi'pesach echad. There was one time that they brought a carbon Pesach, Hayah b'Bei Hillel, during the days of Hillel, that there was one older person there, shenismayach bazokin echad. There was one older person there who got crushed. V'yukorin also Pesach me'uchin. And that Pesach was known forever in infamy as being the crushed Pesach. Pesach me'uchin. Tanur Rabbanan, another braisa, Pamachas, Bikesh Agrippas HaMelech, the Melech Agrippas, he was from the slaves of the house of the Chashmonaim, and he wasn't a fully legitimate king. Gemara tells us stories about how he cried about the fact that he was illegitimate, and he wanted to give in, and there were various people that appeased him and said, no, you're great, Agrippas, no problem, we love you. So in any event, Agrippas HaMelech, he wanted to see how many people actually were there in Klal Yisrael. Litenena b'uchlosa Yisrael. He wanted to do a census. So how do you do a census? You're not allowed to count the people. So he said, let's count the Korban Pesach kidneys. And this way we'll know how many people brought Korban Pesach. So I'm going to tell the Kohen Gadol, Tein Einecho b'psochem, go and put your eyes onto the psochem. In other words, tell me how many Korban Pesachs are brought. So he suggested, Notal kuyo mikol echad, take one kidney from every Korban Pesach. Of course, every Korban Pesach had two kidneys. So he said, just take one of the kidneys and you'll count that. And this way you'll keep track of how many kidneys you have. And at the end of the day, there's 6 million kidneys. So that's how many kidneys there were in the, in how many Korban Pesachs were brought. So not a kul yom kol echad, he took the kidney from each and every Korban Pesach. And it turned out, v'nimtzu sham shishim ribo zuge kloyos. And it turned out, at the end of the day, that there were 600,000, 60,000, 600,000 pairs of kidneys. So therefore, Kiflayim Kiyotzi Mitzrayim. This was twice as many as that left Mitzrayim. Because he's saying that there was 1.2 million kidneys. He only took one kidney from each carbon, so there's twice as many of the people left Mitzrayim. And this didn't include Chutz Mitameh. This didn't include people with Tameh, because they weren't included in the carbon Pesach. They were Tameh. Vishayah B'derech Chalko, the people that were far away, and they were exempt from bringing carbon Pesach. They weren't within a certain distance, and they were exempt from being Ola Regel. The Ein L'chol Kol Pesach L'Pesach. Now, this is just the number of carbon Pesach that were brought. And on no carbon Pesach was there less, Lo Nimu, Lo Yosem, Yasor B'nei Adam. The minimal amount, remember, everybody had to eat a kizayis, and you didn't want to have any left over. So they had a lot of people on each carbon Pesach. No carbon Pesach, less than 10 people on it. So you had these 600,000 pairs of kidneys, so there was 1.2 million kidneys, implying 1.2 million carbon Pesachs, and you had at least 10 people on each carbon Pesach, so you're dealing here with somewhere in the vicinity of 12 million people in Klal Yisrael that were included at a minimum in this carbon Pesach, not including some of the carbon Pesach that had more than 10 people, not including the people that were Tomei, not including the people Derech Rechoka. This was the thick carbon Pesach. It was a lot of carbon Pesachs that were brought. As Rashi says, of Hashem Shah Am Rav. This was called the thick carbon Pesach because there was Kanayin Hara, a lot of people in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara now questions the technical details, how the Kohen Gadol could do this. Notal Kulya, he took out the kidney. Habayi Aktura, you have to go put it on the Mizbeach. That's part of the sacrificial fats. How could he do this? Shmuel says, no, he took them out, counted them, and then he burned them. They put them on the Mizbeach afterwards. Shmuel says, but that's not allowed. V'oksiv v'iktirau. The Pasuk says, you have to go burn it all together. Shlo yariv chalav, shozeh b'zeh. Each sacrificial fats of the Korban Pesach had to be burned separately. You couldn't mix them all together. So Gemara says, right, he didn't just dump 1.2 million kidneys on the Mizbeach. They put them up one at a time, one at a time. Therefore, they were all done separately. Gemara says, still no good. Vatanya vikti ram, sheikulu kiyachot. You have to do the kidneys with the rest of the sacrificial fats all together. You can't do them separately. Gemara says, you're right. What did the Kohen Gadol do? Elatvisa biyama. He took a kidney and counted it. They kept a ledger. Number one, number two, number three, number 1.2 million. And then the shakul minayu had the oven lay midi achrina. And he took the kidneys out, counted them, and then they put them back and they sacrificed each one individually up on the Mizbeach. Then the Mishnah is quoted. It says, Kohanim omdin shuros v'chule. We had the Kohanim in the bucket brigade, the silver buckets and the gold buckets. So how come? My timer. What was the reason for doing it this way? If you're going to tell me, ilay mo dil mo shakle de dava, or myle de kaspa, if they had separate rows of all gold or all silver, and that's because you're concerned that a Kohen might give a gold bowl and get back a silver bowl, and that's pasdish, that's not good. You have to be malin bekodesh v'ein moridin. So you're going from a gold bowl, and then you're taking a silver bowl. It's a urid. So you're not allowed to do that. So then you'd have the same question, even with all the gold bowls. Dumo shakli bar mason umayli bar meya. Here you took a bowl that's worth $200, and instead you got back a gold bowl that's only worth $100. So you'd have the same problem. If you're worried about malin mekodesh, ain marina mekodesh, so then you have a problem. Even if it was all gold or all silver. Ella, so the Gemara concludes, the Hochi Shapetve, it just looks very beautiful. It is a very nice way to go and do it. It adds a splendor and glory to the bringing of the Korban Pesach. That's why they had the rows of gold and the rows of silver, but not because of the principle, Malam Mekodesh Emorid. Mara continues by quoting the Mishnah. We said that when they collected the blood, the Kabbalah, in these bazichin, in these utensils, in these bowls, so they were bowls that came to a point, and they couldn't be put down flat on the ground. The rows, if they come to a point, it's going to spill out the blood. So therefore, it was never put down in order that it shouldn't congeal. So Gemara says, Tanu Rabban, we learn the Braisa, Kol ha-bazichin shebe-mikdash, all of these bazichin in the Beis HaMikdash, none of them, not only for the Korban Pesach, but none of them were used for the Kabbalah, lo yulem shleim. They didn't have bottoms to them that were flat, they all came to a point at the bottom, with one exception, chutz mi-bazichi levona shalechem aponim, except with the two bowls that they put the levona in on top of the lechem aponim, or to the side of the lechem aponim, machlokas, where they were actually put, those had flat bottoms. Those they didn't want to have a pointy bottom because they had to stay up on the lechem aponim, and they were concerned that if they were left leaning on the lechem aponim so they shouldn't spill out the levona from inside of them, they would actually crush and break the lechem aponim, which were machlokas in the Gemara Menachos as to what shape they were in, like a canoe or like a box that had openings on only two sides. So whatever the shape of the lechem aponim, so it couldn't get broken. It was a very involved process to make the lechem aponim. And if they put these bazichin, which had no flat bottom, but had a pointy bottom, so it had to lean on the lechem aponim, it might break it. So therefore, the Gemara says, this was the exception to the rule, chutz mi bazichin levona shelechem aponim. Why? Because, as I said, shemo yanichom v'yifros alechem, because if they leaned them, they would potentially break the lechem aponim up, and that would be a problem. Then the Mishnah is quoted, Shachat Yisrael v'kibel hakol mechulei. Yisrael did the Shechita, which again I pointed out from the Sfas Emes, that was l'chatchila. They wanted a Yisrael to do it to save more Kohanim to do the rest of the work that only a Kohen could do. And the Kabbalah was done by the Kohen, the Holocha was done by Kohanim, the Zrika was done by Kohanim, mechulei. So the Gemara says, Lo sagi the lav Yisrael. You're implying over here that bedavke must be done by Yisrael. So Gemara says, yeah. He gufa kamashvelan. The Chiddush over here is the Shechita b'zorg sheira. That's what it wants to teach us. If you want to go even further, like the Sfas Emes, the Bedavka they had Yisrael, but certainly it's to teach us that the Shechita in general is kosher by Yisrael. Again, the Minhag was to go and have a Kohen do it. But that's what the Kohanim was reason. They desired to do all the mitzvahs, but technically a Yisrael could do the Shechita. It's not one of the parts of the Avoda that is a Zor, Yischayev Misa. If he does the Avoda, the Shechita is not considered the Avoda, somewhat paradoxically. Then we quote the Mishnah and said, "V'kibal haKohen." The Kohen had to do the Kabbalah. So Kamashul, and here, this is telling us, "Mikabbalah ve'elah." The Kabbalah, the Loch, the Zrika, from the Kabbalah and onwards, mitzvahs kahuna must be done by a Kohen. If it's done by a Zohar, then it'd be Chayv Misa, and it wouldn't be a good avoda. We quote the Mishnah, "Nosel l'chaveiro," and they did the bucket brigade. Each one would pass the full Kabbalah blood-containing bazuch to the Kohen in front of them.
Shamas Minon, Gemara says, halacha shloba regel, have halacha. Seems that they didn't move their feet, they just passed it with their hands, and nevertheless that fulfills the requirement to do halacha. Technically, halacha is not ma'akev. If you do the shechita right by the mizbeach, and there is no need to do the halacha, so then halacha is not ma'akev. But here, they were far enough away from the mizbeach that you had to do the halacha. So you see that halacha, even if you don't move the feet, it's good. As long as the item, the bowl, the bazich, is being brought forward, that's also called halacha. Or says, maybe not. Duma, hu na'id parta. Maybe the person himself moved a little bit. He passed it, but he moved a little bit. So you can't prove to me that there's halacha shelo beregel havi halacha. Gemor says, Vela my kamashla. So if he moved a little bit, so then what's the chiddush of telling me the bucket brigade? So Gemor says, Hakamashla, this is the chiddush. Barovam hadras melech. More and more people were involved over here. Instead of having just one kohen doing the halacha, you had many kohanim doing the halacha that added to the splendor and the glory of this wonderful event of bringing the Korban Pesach. We should be zochah to bring it this year. The Mishnah is quoted, Kibelas Hamala Yumasa Sarekim Chule. He would hand to the Kohen in front of him the blood-filled bazich, and he would get back an empty one, and they would bring it back and clean it out, so the next usage of that bucket could go. So Avol, if Chalo, we didn't do it the other way. We didn't first take the empty one and then give the full one. This is Messiah Rav Shimon Lakish. This is in accord with what Rav Shimon Lakish said. What did Rav Shimon Lakish say? Don't Rav Shimon Lakish. And Mabir Al Mitzvah. Don't ever not do a mitzvah as soon as you have the opportunity to do so. Don't pass over a mitzvah and not do it when you can do it as soon as you can. So here, you can be participating in doing the halacha, or you can be participating in cleaning up afterwards by bringing back the empty bazach. So he says, do the mitzvah first and then take care of the housekeeping. Then we quote the Mishnah, Kohen HaKarov, Eitzalam Zbeach Chulei, the one, the Kohen, who was at the end of this Baki Brigade, he was next to the Mizbeach, so he would do the Zrika from the bazach onto the Mizbeach, onto the Yisod. So Gemara asks, Man Tono Pesach Bezrika. Now we're saying here that he does it with Zrika, as opposed to that you have to do, for example, with a Chatas, when you do it on the four corners on the top of the Mizbeach, you apply them with your finger. And other times, you did Shvicha, you poured it. And here you do Zrika, you throw it onto the Yisod. So who is the opinion of our Mishnah that says you must do Zrika? So Amar Chista, our Mishnah is Rav Yossi Aglilihi. It's the opinion of Rav Yossi Aglilihi. Where do we see that? Because we learn the Brice of the Tanya. Rav Yossi Aglilihi Omer, he dashes the Pasuk. It says, Es domom tizrok al mizbeach, ves chalbom taktir. Now, this Pasuk tells us that you must go and do zrika onto the mizbeach, and then you sacrifice the fats. So it says, domo lo nemar. It doesn't say domo. Now, this Pasuk is talking about the Bechor. Now we have the Bechor and the Meiser, Behema, and the Korban Pesach, they're often lumped together. So it says over here in the plural, Domam. So the Dam, plural of the Bechor, you shall Zorek on the Mizbeach, Tizrok ala Mizbeach. It doesn't say singular, Domo, its blood, like it should have said if it was just talking about the Bechor, Domo lo Nemar. Elo, it says Domam, implying that there are other Korbanos that also have Zrika. And likewise, it says es chalbom taktir. It didn't say chalbo. It didn't say singular chalbo lo nemar el chalbom. So again, it's talking about more than one type of carbon. It's not talking about just the bechor. And therefore, Rav Yosef Lili Darshitz limed. This pasuk is telling us that not only the bechor, but also ala bechor and on Maisa Behema, and on Pesach, all three of these carbonos, they're often lumped together. Shehein teunin matan domim. They have to have a blood application, which is done via Zrika, and there has to be a sacrificial fats brought, Veimurim, Legabi, and Mizbeach. They're all the same process for all three of them, for the Bechor, the Maisa Behema, and the Korban Pesach. Nadigmor says, okay, great, you have to do the Zrika. How do you know it has to be on the Yisod? Minola and the Tuna Yisod. So Omer Rabbi Elazar tells us, Asya Zrika, Zrika Meola. This we learn now from Ola. By the Ola, it says you have to do Zrika. So over here, you have to do Zrika as well. So Ksiv Hoch, it says, Es Domom Tizrok. It says over here that you shall throw Domom, as we just said, Domom, all of them. And it says by the Korban Ola, Ksiv Hosim, it says, Vezarku B'nei Aron HaKonim, Es Domo, Al Mizbeach Soviv. So therefore, it says that they have to do it on the Mizbeach Soviv, on the Yisod. So just like by the Ola, where it says Zrika, it has to be on the Yisod. Ma Ola Tuna Yisod. So to Av Pesach, Nami Ton Yisod. So the Korban Pesach also has to have it on the Yisod. So Gemara concludes and says, "No, the Ola. Where do we know that? It says Mizbeach Soviv, Ola Gufa Minolon." So we say, "Amakra." The pasuk says, "El Yisod Mizbeach Ola." It's known as the Yisod of the Mizbeach for the Ola. Alma, you see from there, Ola to Una Yisod. It must have it on the Yisod, and we learn out from the Ola to the Korban Pesach. It must have the Zrika done on the Yisod. With this, we conclude today's shir.